It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR. I'm your host, Marty Wegbright. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show,
if they come in with the proper documentation, DMV will in fact process it that same day. They have a policy of mailing the driver's license or the ID to the address that you provide. This reduces fraud and avoids the situation where somebody could actually offer an address but pick up the card. So when they mail it out, it's a way of confirming the fact that that address is a valid address.
Randy Rollins, president and CEO of Drive to Work, talks about the new legislation passed by the General Assembly requiring voters to present some form of identification and unveils the mystery behind how to get a photo ID from the Department of Motor Vehicles, and the complexities of workers' compensation coverage and notice requirements are explained in this week's question and answer. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 164, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM Richmond Independent Radio and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's news you can use. Last month, the Virginia Interfaith Center and Virginia Interfaith Power and Light announced strong support for new historic clean air standards promulgated by the Environmental Protection Agency, or EPA. Power plants that burn fossil fuels emit 2 billion tons of carbon pollution and toxic pollutants into the air each year, in part because carbon emissions are not limited or capped in any way nationally. The EPA's proposed standards would modernize new power plants and better protect public health. Carbon pollution exacerbates smog pollution and triggers many respiratory problems, especially in children and the elderly. The new clean air standards are particularly important for families living in low-income neighborhoods, which are often at higher risk for air pollution and are disproportionately affected by the cost of care for asthma and other respiratory ailments. The recently announced standards would only place limits on carbon pollution emitted from new power plants. The EPA also is developing standards to reduce carbon pollution from existing power plants. The EPA's 60-day comment period for public input on the new standards is now open. For more information, go to www.virginiainterfaithcenter.org or www.vipl.org. In other news, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, or CFPB, is investigating DriveTime, one of the largest buy-here, pay-here used car chains, the latest in a rising tide of scrutiny of the little-known industry. On April 12, the CFPB issued a subpoena seeking information and business documents from DriveTime Automotive Group, which has 90 dealerships nationwide. The buy-here, pay-here industry consists of used car dealers which lend to people with damaged credit by offering direct, in-house financing rather than using outside lenders like banks or credit unions. But borrowers have complained about high prices, steep interest rates, onerous payments, and quick repossessions that often ruin their credit and push them into bankruptcy. DriveTime operates lots in 17 states, including 3 in the Richmond-Petersburg area and 3 more in Hampton Roads. As a central component of its business model, DriveTime bundles and sells many of its auto loans as securities in a manner similar to lenders creating mortgage-backed securities. Last year, DriveTime issued 3 auto loan-backed securitizations worth a total of almost $710 million, and this month it expects to raise $355 million in an additional sale. With this week's news you can use, this is your host, Marty Wegbright. You're listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's case that changed the Commonwealth is Kofer versus Kofer. As part of a divorce in 1960, Hardy Kofer was ordered to pay $255 per month in child support. 3 years later, based upon a reduction of income, he moved the court for a reduction in child support to $175 per month and the elimination of an arrearage of $1,375. The City of Richmond Circuit Court granted both requests, and the ex-wife appealed. On appeal, the Supreme Court of Virginia ruled that the child support arrears could not be eliminated because a court's authority to revise or alter a child support order pertains only to future child support and does not allow the court to alter or cancel accrued installments for child support. Past due child support is vested and immune from change. This has been the law ever since. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Diane Dussel. And Kofer versus Kofer is this week's case that changed the Commonwealth.
It's time for this week's question and answer session. We're here in the studio with this week's questioner. Please tell us your name and where you're from.
My name is Tracy, and I'm from Richmond, Virginia.
Welcome to the show, Tracy. Thanks for being here. What question do you have for us?
Well, my question is, if you get hurt on a job, and you have been denied opportunity to fill out an accident report, and in other words, you were denied the opportunity to file a workman's comp claim, is there any recourse for you to get your out-of-pocket money that you spent on your own doctor bills back?
Well, yes, there is, Tracy, but let me ask a couple follow-up questions. First of all, where were you working when this happened? In other words, were you at your place of employment or were you somewhere else?
No, it was not actually at the job site itself or at a service call. It was at my employer's father's house.
Okay, and was this during your normal working days and hours?
Yes, it was.
And was this a situation where things were slow at the shop and you were asked to go someplace else and do some odd jobs?
Yes, I was typically asked a lot of times when work was slow, and they would rather send you to do a lot of miscellaneous things or just come up with different things for you to do when it wasn't the work that your job description entailed of. So, yes, I did a little some of everything and anything just to for them not to feel that they was paying me to sweep the floor and the floor was already clean.
And the reason I ask that question is because to be eligible for workers' compensation, your injury has to arise out of and in the course of your employment. So if you were at your boss's father's house and it had nothing to do with your employment, then you would not be eligible for workers' compensation. But in your case, it sounds like it occurred during working hours, so it was in the course of business. And it sounds like it arose out of your employment because things were slow at the shop and you were asked to go there since you were being paid anyway and do some odd jobs, so it was arising out of your employment. Now, when you are hurt on the job, whether it's on the job site or going to and from a job site or at a remote location, you're hurt on the job, you're required to do two things. It doesn't sound like you've done either of them, but it probably isn't too late to do them. The first thing you have to do is to give written notice to your employer of the accident. Normally, you have to do that within 30 days, but if you haven't done that yet, do it now. Secondly, you have to file a claim with the Workers' Compensation Commission, and you must do that within 2 years of the injury. When was your injury?
My injury was around about, I think it was in June.
Okay, so you're well within your 2 years to do that. You want to file a written claim with the Virginia Workers' Compensation Commission. They are located at 1000 DMV Drive, Richmond, Virginia, 23220. And their phone number, it's toll-free, 1-877-664-2566. They also have a website, which is www.vwc.state.va.us. Now, once you file your claim with the Workers' Compensation Commission, that gets your claim started. The employer is required to have an attorney in these claims, so you really need to have one too. There are dozens of attorneys in the Richmond area who handle workers' compensation claims. You can easily find one by going to the Yellow Pages, looking under lawyers, looking under workers' compensation. You'll find a dozen or so who advertise that they do workers' compensation. Most of them advertise free initial consultation. So again, after you file your claim, I would strongly suggest that you contact one of those attorneys to assist you with the claim.
You've answered a lot of the what my concerns were dealing with this issue. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you very much.
Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. We're here at the offices of Drive to Work. We are talking with the CEO and President, Randy Rollins, and we're going to be talking about obtaining a photo ID from the Department of Motor Vehicles. And this is of particular importance because of changes in Virginia's voting laws. And I'd like Randy to start off by telling us, what are those changes in Virginia voting laws that we're going to be seeing?
Thanks, Marty, for inviting me to do this. I might just mention the existing forms of identification that a person could take to vote, and then add the ones that are new. The ones that you should be able to have right now are a voter ID card obtained from a state board of elections office. A second is a valid Virginia driver's license or identification card issued by a government agency. So if a person has a ID card issued by DMV, that would count. The next thing they could have is a employee identification card that has their picture on it. So if your employer is a local employer and he produces a ID card for you so you can get through the gate, that will qualify if it has your picture on it. And the new things that are coming through in the legislation that's just been adopted is a valid student ID issued by a four-year institution of higher education in the state. And secondly, a copy of a utility bill, a bank statement, a government check, or a paycheck that has your name and your address on it.
Now, before this law took effect, I gather you could cast a vote without a form of ID, but you'd have to cast a different type of vote. Is that going to be the law in the future?
You would still be able to cast what they call a provisional ballot. The rules on the provisional ballot, as far as whether you're eligible to use that form or not, are changing slightly. They are going to require further confirmation that you are who you say you are, either in the form of a signature or the recognition of you by the person at the voting booth. That is an issue yet to be determined when the legislation is adopted.
So, Randy, I guess with these changes coming up in Virginia law, that is going to create a much bigger demand for photo identification from DMV. So, would you tell our audience what are the basic requirements in order to get a photo ID from DMV, and then we'll go into each one in more detail afterwards.
All right. The first requirement is that you prove your identity, which means that you prove that you're validly in the United States. The second requirement is that you prove that you are a resident of Virginia. And the third one is that you prove that you have a Social Security number.
So let's go through those one at a time. How do you prove your identity to DMV and that you are legally present in the United States?
DMV has a lengthy list of ways in which you can prove your legal identity. They require proof by two means. The most common form of proof of identity is a birth certificate. But other forms of proofs of identity might be a passport. It might be a certificate of naturalization if you've been born outside the United States. It could be a DMV-issued driver's license, just to give you an example or two of that. As I said, you have to have two such pieces of identity. A second type of identity could include a marriage certificate. It could include a license or an unexpired ID from another state. It could be a U.S. Selective Service card, something that shows you are in the military or a military ID. But there are just probably dozens of ways in which you can prove this. If you go to the DMV website, it will show all of them to you.
Okay, so you've shown who you are. What do you have to do next?
The second thing you have to do is prove you have a Virginia residence. Now, obviously, if you live in a house and there's a deed on your house and in your name, that will prove it for them. On the other hand, many people don't own their homes, so leases in which they are the lessee, utility bills addressed to the place where you live would be another example of a proof of residency, because why would you receive a utility bill in your name unless you were in fact living there? Things like being able to say that you're listed on your employer records and your check or a voucher of your check is sent to that address. Anything that's showing that you have an address, which is a Virginia address, that's not just created for that limited purpose of proving that you're living there. In other words, it's coming from an independent place, is likely to be acceptable as proof of residence.
And then you mentioned the third thing is the Social Security number. What has to be shown there?
The most common way of showing that would be to produce your Social Security card from the U.S. Social Security Administration. If a person doesn't have that card, it's been lost, or it's inconvenient to obtain it, if DMV sees a Social Security number on a document like a paycheck stub, they are willing to accept that as evidence that you have a Social Security number. If they should see it on a tax return or a tax refund check or anything that's coming from a third party which shows that you have a Social Security number, they will accept that as evidence that you satisfied this requirement.
Now, how long does it typically take someone to get a photo ID from DMV?
They would first go and get a photo from some person, some organization. I believe DMV will even take their picture right on the spot. If they come in with the proper documentation, DMV will, in fact, process it that same day. They have a policy of mailing the driver's license or the ID to the address that you provide. This reduces fraud and avoids the situation where somebody could actually offer an address but pick up the card. So when they mail it out, it's a way of confirming the fact that that address is a valid address.
Which leads, I guess, to the question of what if you actually have no address? What if you are a homeless person with no fixed address? What do you do then in order to get a DMV photo ID?
DMV will not give a photo ID to anyone who does not have an address. If they cannot tell DMV that they are in fact living in a place, as a homeless person would not be able to do, that person is not going to be able to get a Virginia ID card from DMV. There are certain places that DMV will recognize, even if a person does not have a home or an apartment, if you're living in a place like the Salvation Army on a permanent basis, that they will accept the Salvation Army's address for you, because you can, in fact, receive mail at that address.
So is it safe to say that if you can give DMV an address that they can mail the photo ID to, that DMV will consider that to be your Virginia residence for their purposes?
I believe that would be the case, yes.
You'd mentioned being in the United States legally. What specifically do we mean by that? I mean, obviously we're talking about U.S. citizens, but also I suppose there are other people who are not U.S. citizens, but nevertheless have a right to be here. What are those categories of people who can get a photo ID from DMV?
There are various documents issued by the U.S. Immigration Services that will satisfy this requirement. For example, what's commonly referred to as a green card would qualify. There are other kinds of immigration permits that allow a person to get a license, even if they're not permanent residents. They could be a temporary resident of the U.S. from, say, France, and have a worker permit for a certain period of time, and they could qualify for an ID or a driver's license with that.
If people need more information, what website should they go to, or how can they get additional information as to how to meet all of these rules and regulations that DMV has?
If they go to dmv.virginia.gov, they will find the information that we've been discussing. There's a document guide for driver's licenses and ID cards on that website, and it's very user-friendly. You can, in fact, click certain blocks in that area of the website, and at the end of all the questions that they ask you, of which there's not but about three, they will say that you're eligible to get a ID card, and I think you can submit it to them, and then obviously you're going to have to go there and be photographed for the ID itself.
All right. Well, that is very useful, and this is information that people will certainly need, if not now, come November. If they want to vote, this will certainly be one of the identifications that you can produce, not necessarily that you're required to produce, but can produce at the polling place in order to be able to vote.
Yes. I will only add that the Virginia ID that DMV produces is pretty universally accepted in many places, whereas some of the other forms of ID that you need to vote will not allow you to go through an airport screening device or get into federal buildings, whereas the ID card that you get from DMV, even though it's got some further requirements to get it, is very useful to individuals to have.
Well, very good. Thank you. We have been speaking with Randy Rollins. He is the CEO and Executive Director of Drive to Work, an organization that helps people who have suspended or revoked driving privileges obtain those privileges back, and also helps people in getting photo identifications as well. Thank you so much for being on the show, Randy.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's Strange But True Law is from Title 55, which deals with property and conveyance. The Virginia Real Estate Timeshare Act requires a developer to give each prospective buyer a full and accurate description of the timeshare. Code of Virginia Section 55-386 requires the developer to complete all promised and incomplete units and common elements, but may be excused due to certain causes. These include labor dispute not caused by the developer, riots, war, government restrictions, regulation or control, inability to obtain any materials or services, fire or other casualties, acts of God, or forces not under the control of the developer. That's not a loophole you can drive a condo through, if they ever built it, that is. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Michelle King, and that's this week's Strange But True Law.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. If you have any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. In addition, every first-run Central Virginia Legal Aid radio show ever broadcast is available at www.radioforall.net. That's radio, the numeral four, all.net. Then click the contributor link, then click Marty Wegbright, Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. Increasingly, if you have a legal dispute over something you bought, the contract you signed may say you can't go to court. Join us next week when consumer protection attorney and friend of the show, John Gale, discusses consumer arbitration clauses, how to get around them, and what to do if you can't. That's law for the rest of us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wegbright.